Major provisions of the Trump administration's executive orders related to immigration enforcement could have a sweeping effect on who may be eligible to stay in the country and how federal officials work with local law enforcement. The nonpartisan Migration Policy Institute published a brief this week to provide context for some of those provisions. Sarah Pierce works with the U.S. Immigration Policy Program at the Migration Policy Institute and joins me. Sarah, does the nation on a practical basis have the resources to put into effect the priorities the Trump administration has put forward?
I think that's a great question, and certainly the actions of ICE agents over the last couple weeks and the text of this executive order and the subsequent guidance have caused a lot of angst and anxiety amongst immigrant communities. But really, we kind of have to wait and see what this will actually mean in practice, because the administration definitely faces steep resource constraints. They, you know, only have so many ICE officers, and they want to hire more, but that costs money that must be appropriated by Congress. The administration also only has so many detention beds to work with currently, and so many immigration judges. A lot of the individuals who are picked up in interior enforcement end up going to immigration court, and our current immigration court system is really backed up. We have over 500,000 cases there.
Let's look at Section 10 of the executive order and the phrasing about DHS terminating the priority enforcement program and reinstating secure communities. Can you remind our listeners what secure communities was and is and could be?
Sure. So secure communities was introduced under the Bush administration, and it used fingerprints to match the identity of anyone booked into a state prison or into a local jail who had an immigration status or violation that made them deportable. By matching their fingerprints, that was flagged to ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and ICE got to decide whether or not they would issue a detainer, which is essentially a form that requests that the local jail hold on to that individual for up to 48 hours, so ICE could then take them into custody and put them into removal proceedings. That was started under the Bush administration and actually became universal about midway through the Obama administration, but it created a lot of tension in local communities because it ended up including non-citizens who had committed minor crimes, even traffic violations. And because of that, a lot of jurisdictions started to pull back on secure communities. So because of that, in November 2014, the Obama administration actually introduced the Priority Enforcement Program, which had the same goals as secure communities, but it allowed local jurisdictions to negotiate the terms of their cooperation with ICE. And as a result, a lot more jurisdictions started to participate in the Priority Enforcement Program. And it was the same jurisdictions that had previously pulled out under secure communities.
One other section I wanted to look at briefly, because it seems new, and the establishing an office to provide professional services to victims of crime committed by removable non-citizens and their relatives. Is this a much different step than we've seen before?
So ICE actually currently has what they call a victim notification program, which provides information to eligible victims and witnesses. But the office that President Trump has proposed is definitely a big increase on that existing office and looking to provide these individuals with much more holistic services.
Does having President Trump in the White House and moving in this direction, does comprehensive immigration reform, that phrase, sort of fall out of the vernacular for a while based on what we're seeing here?
That is such a good question. And it is true. We've kind of heard Congress just stop talking about comprehensive immigration reform because there's so much to deal with. I mean, President Trump has been in office for a month and we already have these three executive orders, which each of which contain a lot. And so I think Congress is kind of scrambling to readjust to this new world and this new administration. So I agree, comprehensive immigration reform, I mean, it's definitely something that's on everyone's mind. I think anyone, Republican or Democrat, understands that the immigration laws need to change in some manner, whether that be comprehensive or not. But I think at the moment, everyone's just trying to deal with this new world that we're in. And that has taken a little bit of a backseat.
Sarah Pierce is an associate policy analyst for the U.S. Immigration Policy Program at the Migration Policy Institute.